wohnen.
Ist normal. So, the three of you, and let's see, myself and Marika, who's not here, and I think so occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So this is the second pass these transcriptions are receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you all basically have an idea of what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel, and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So you can start checking by, well, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like, say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that it so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those, and so you could just hit and then like that, and then go back and check the silent regions. How
That's right.
if you want to make your job a little more interesting, you can do it in different ways on a different day. It doesn't matter, as long as it gets done. So
So are we checking what's actually been transcribed already, as well as the silences?
yeah, you're doing so. That's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent regions, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber. And of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Yeah, exactly. And so that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu. You can do a search
Find
for,
replace.
yeah, find replace for open parentheses, and that'll take you to any that the first transcriber might have marked out. So there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes altogether. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How
If
much should you want? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this. But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, like put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's I would, if you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that
there's a chance
maybe
a
30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem because I think sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context. Or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all. And then you question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one. Listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that. And then you should have the context from all four speakers. Mm-hmm. And then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Yeah, does tend to help.
Okay.
Once you've been through the passage and worked out what they're talking about.
you'll know all too well what we said in this meeting by the time.
It took like the third time till I thought, oh, you're saying F5.
yeah, I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
But if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream.
Mm.
They just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. I mean, you think of it from a speech recognition point of view again, and always this should motivate you. Yeah. What is most robust for speech recognition and leave out?
We just started our speech recognition assignment just now.
So you're well geared towards this task.
That's fun. I've done that too.
So
you're
I've gone
SLP person.
Oh no, I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh no.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yes. And actually, I've done quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
Too many.
And. I'll ask you later on, like, if you still have your notes.
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So, this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So, this person didn't know about capitalization. So, just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and needs to end punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's sort of pause in the middle of a sentence that's long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue into the next segment, and
so
that's perfectly fine.
Hyphen,
that's
then
actually the only case the where you don't. Were you not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence from a previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
Okay. And you only use the hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anywhere.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those
this
wrong then. When someone comes to check it.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out or mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly an in-breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in-breaths or out-breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need. Oh, you know, this is the headset. Mike, and I heard something there. It was a
creaky voice.
Yeah, it was creaky. So
but it was really connected to the word. Really.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know really whether it's a mic noise or that person is making that noise.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was a. Let's see, wait. Yeah, so this there's actually quite a bit more in there than from I heard before. So I heard a creaky voice, and it was audible of the level of the rest of the speech. So I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was. That makes sense. Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here that didn't get caught. So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions I've looked at. Missed false starts. Missed.
And how exact you have to be there, because you know, some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right. Yeah. I mean, I think syllables should be accounted for.
Okay, sometimes they go you know, like that, and then you're not really sure.
Well, don't let it drive you crazy, because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. It's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to draw a line somewhere. But if it's, say, 4 repeated, if the word is repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count. Mm-hmm. I haven't come across anything exceeding 4, I don't think. Yeah. Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4 mm-hmm. times, mm-hmm. that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe 1 or 1.5 phones, uh-huh. and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether 1 is a long duration of 1 or whether it's actually 2.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's, I think it was a word starting with D, and the person was going D-d-d-d-d or
something. Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes with the does, you're thinking, are you anticipating a d, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying the.
Right. The. Well, there again, think about robustness and speech recognition, mm-hmm. and it really doesn't matter. If it's a word fragment, who cares? Well, you're marking it as a fragment, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say it doesn't really actually sound at all, you know, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you put a star after every single one word?
I wouldn't be using the star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what for I thought. A non-native speaker. You're not supposed to do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, you know, a whole batch of dialogues where all 4 participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think is Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European, and but if you would just play it, I think, to recognize her, then what he says, you know, the way he realizes words sounds mm-hmm. nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. I mean, for that matter, a lot of native English speakers' realizations aren't going to be so true to.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah.
If it comes out in like one word is.
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like his, I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really, because
no, I mean, yeah, they're you're gonna find that for any speaker, they have a set way of realizing these things, and it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant, like I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's the guy who says project instead of product, and it's something like project, and it's probably just his pronunciation.
Oh, I think I've described him. I had project at all.
Yeah, well, they were clearly talking about a product, so So I marked that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And one guy who was saying evolution each time he meant
evaluation. Yeah, I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always transcribe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good. That's good.
Well, at the moment, we have a lecturer that I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program. Program. And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to it. I can't tell.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just something.
I think just
have
do
to
your
deal
best
with.
And hope for the best.
Hope he's not involved with this.
Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber a headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headset and lapel transcription, so it's not too bad.
Oops. I won't be transcribing this. Do I care?
Yeah, let's have Marika transcribe.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filled pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to because you're so used to tuning them out. And mm-hmm. Even when I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning, do a quick pass of the main sections again and think, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch
Sorry, I'm
all
just
of them, or at least
with
most
the
of
TV,
them.
There is T underscore V underscore. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between letters.
No.
That's what I thought the first day as
sorry,
well.
Okay, sorry, then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know, you standardized all the field pauses that are, and do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently? Like if where I've written ER for change it all to UH.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is one that Melissa did, and that was checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know, changes like that were just announced. We'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for you would change that to the regularized version.
Okay.
And we just this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted with choice.
So if they pause just where you got it highlighted at the moment, that was the hyphen.
Mm-hmm. There.
So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a real definite? I'm starting a new sentence here, because I sometimes, if it sounds like you could carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there. Is it any
but it is a
hesitation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's not necessarily restarting a sentence, but just a restart of any type.
I think of it in terms of, you know, not even maybe to, well, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it's just, it might go back to the last
just
note.
Just one to the next daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh goodness, who would know what that was? If somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S note.
It's just my way of knowing. Yeah. Sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's so that answers your question.
Sorry?
About this one up here. Okay. Here's where I heard another d sound, another false start, or a stutter, I would say. I'm not seeing where this is.
You're three lines in.
Okay. there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the D, and that's fine.
What's
the letter D?
What's the C? Is that a
she would like C? She
judgment is that.
Oh, sorry, I didn't go that far enough.
Well, I've not used that button yet.
Where you've written out etc. Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
Okay.
What is that? Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong. Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah. So I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just said spelling.
But it would be isn't like at Ollie.
Sorry.
But isn't it in Latin like et cetera, like at Ollie or?
Like 80s.
No, like you know when you have when you have a citation and you say et al. Mm-hmm. Means and others at Ollie is the full word and et cetera means and following. So
in the dictionary here it's one word.
Oh, and it is.
If you have any questions about spellings, I think I might have sent an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary on there.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So as far as I know, this is just missing an E, cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can, we've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. Mm-hmm. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check on it, but I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with a hyphen, then a spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you. And you know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent. You just click okay. You know, that's not
Check,
and then you might miss a real error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, the C.
Okay, so. Sorry. So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting
form
off rather than saying she would like to see
something.
Right.
Yeah. I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But
the
since
two.
C is a
whole
word, shouldn't there be a space between C and the hyphen?
A space
not
between
to be.
She
yeah.
would like
to be pedantic.
She would like C.
The C and the hyphen, shouldn't there be a space?
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks, that's what I was asking.
That was
that
what
way,
you were. Okay. Here we go. Let me save that. Okay, what else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So,
the wood and
so she transcribed that as wood.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether a thing will or would.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously there are.
But
if
it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical alternative or?
No, you try to keep it as true to
but
what's being
but
said.
But if it's really absolutely not clear,
then use
when they say "wood" instead. You know, some people when they just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe
I'd have to hear it because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and type what you think they should have said.
Yeah.
But I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
Should be capitalized.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking them because there are just too many. But
should it? Because they lose is completely from one sentence.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. You're right. Right. No. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a yes in there. And
what's that?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So another missed false start. There was creakiness on the she, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I've made butts after like words after laughter, I've made them capitalized because I've not been sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
Mm. If it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter, I wouldn't worry about capitalizing.
So what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter when that happens, what I do is I put laughter in front, then the whole sentence and laughter in, you know, at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
I don't know. We'll have to.
There's some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing while they speak.
Okay, so laughter during speech. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to him, listen.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, you know, while laughing, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they say either, so there it's really not ambiguous whether it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinction there, and we don't have that.
No, we don't have any qual tags like they use, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I've come across that as well. Let's see. I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on. There are other types of things I want to point out. Let's see.
Circuit. I forget if she is a person that calls circuit.
Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
So would you have been tempted to just put an asterisk after that?
If it's her, I just caught the end of it and. No, not for that one. So I had one person who said circuit.
Okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No, it's just something that the speech recognizer is liable to trip up on, I think.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make, to say circuit instead of circuit.
That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound was.
Mm.
It's going to be your call in a lot of these
something
cases.
Something like if. I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher wouldn't allow that to move on to the next stage, and they wouldn't let that pass. sort of.
Okay.
Or I wouldn't if somebody did that, I'd point it out to them.
Here's a case of where I found it, found a case of discontinuity. But, you know, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know. Maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe that was.
Yeah, because otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every hesitation mark that you have.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't know. That was just my reflex at the time to put that there. But
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual pole. Hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole like back channel.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I just read the rest of the sentence.
Is push buttons two words?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you
think it works? I would type it as two.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, let's see. There was a... So I hear she would quite clearly there.
Yeah.
And I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
well,
to
it could be she
in.
Would or should as well.
Well, okay. Yes, it could be a lot of things.
Marketing expert who has to finally come up to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. And that was just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as mm-hmm, we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Marika asked me what to do in the case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases?
I haven't done.
I don't
no.
think it's
too silly.
Yeah.
It's not linguistic.
No.
Well, not, yeah. I know. You could think of anarchy.
I was just thinking of, you know, a utterance consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation in, like, ha-ha.
Someone's going to have fun transcribing that now.
If you start the conversation in the common room, like, is laughter linguistic, then they could come up with theory.
I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to interpret my note here. Delete and collapse those surroundings from the segments. Okay, I guess there just really wasn't enough to transcribe there.
Yeah, because it was really just silence, and you're asking the person to just get ready.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play any surrounding segments. So there's nothing there worth transcribing.
Just noticed the random yes, like with having a hyphen before, because if you scroll up a little way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that the second one from the top. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and find my places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, and then this, I've not had, I need to go back and find.
Oh, so you haven't put a hyphen? I see. Yeah. Okay.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas?
Yeah.
For that type of situation?
I've sort it out. Actually, where I've a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine.
Okay.
Eventually, they're going to be extracted.
Right.
Globally, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, we can just wipe them out.
Okay.
So I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Reynolds, who's project manager, had a look at, I think it was my transcription. All these commas doing in here. But he didn't, ultimately he said it wasn't a problem.
Okay, cool.
They will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective. I mean, something that you, the transcriber here,
just to make sense of a sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposals yesterday, and it's like, well, you could have a comma in here and one there.
What is cutest?
She spelled cutest with an I. So.
Oh, okay.
That's just something I pointed out. Okay, what else?
Yes, D.
Thank you.
So here's, let's see. Now this was...
like one step behind.
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that. But You can see how it could have been.
Well,
I don't know.
If you were Cockney, then.
Yeah, I don't
sometimes
know.
You get like an you're not sure if it's an A, an A, yeah, or not.
Right, and you can never know. But yeah. If it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
yeah, do it as
you might as well.
So okay. Which did you just?
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our. But
evaluation.
This
several vowels in there.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It
gets ambiguous. I don't know. What's this? Well, oh, she's. I hear the well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset mic channel may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with the dodgy headphone where dodgy something where most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh God. That's and you transcribed that speaker entirely?
Yeah.
if that comes up again, we've got headset mic files now. In fact,
right.
They replaced all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. And so now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently, the headset mic files are just a bit louder,
right.
So you'll probably find yourself turning the volume down considerably. But apparently, other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know because we can retrieve the.
Yeah, with some people, it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. I had this one in one of the first dialogues I did. This guy called Ed. You could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being at some points just black segments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to a microphone. And that was really
a lot of people that say, is this on? And like hit it a few times.
okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and you think, who? And you don't know how to spell their name.
Right.
If you heard the right name.
Right. What are we going to do for that?
Sorry?
Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed.
And it took me to find out that it was actually Mr. Ed.
Mystery Ed.
No, but that it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed.
I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that
right.
And see how we can handle
but
that.
But don't you guys have this data?
What?
Know the people's names, like when you collect
data, quite possibly, but since it's coming from it's coming from IDIOP in Switzerland, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one other step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's...
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we ought to be able to get
we
that.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both things.
Mm-hmm. What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to transcribe Mr.
Oh, just type Mr. fully.
M-R.
M-I-S-T-E-R. Yeah. And same with Mrs. M-I-S-S-U-S.
U-S?
Okay.
Mrs. I believe. Check the dictionary. That's
Mrs.
Yeah. You would never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody
anything?
Calls themselves Ms.?
I'm sure there's a spelling in the OED,
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking if we come up something?
Oh, right, so the transcriber's enclosing everything in carets.
Yeah.
And what you would do is
which I it was French, so I knew how to explain.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Okay. I mean, if it's in carrots and they know it's fine, does that matter?
It shouldn't, because things are going to be left, like the asterisks will be left for the the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to a nap between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's unintelligible.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really. Yeah. We're not supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because there's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French. Like, one is definitely French. And I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying something to her, and she goes, "Comment?" Mm-hmm. you know that.
So yeah, yeah. If you're confident, you get a fair grasp on French, for example. Why not?
Not accidentally translating the process.
Yeah. Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed "okay" in caps.
Oh yeah, I saw it there.
O, capital K, and huge no-no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay just as okay, not as a okay, A-Y?
It is okay, A-Y.
A-Y, oh right, oops.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job to catch all of these things.
Find some of those.
So no, no transcriber will be checking, checker will be checking
their own transcription,
yes.
Right.
Yes. So
the transcriber will be checking
their own transcription. We will catch these things.
I have to remember that one now.
More efficiently, I think. And so I'll just go up to the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
Guess it depends how far you can stretch.
Clips.
Oh, yeah, because every time somebody would be going over there, you'd hear all the sound.
The whiteboard.
I can hear the chairs moving and the...
And about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way there.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard and killing a little more time, I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So let's see. So okay.
Now. Oh, the whiteboard marker is a camera as well.
It's like some piece of
equipment. Rather, this is a list of things to do as the checker. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And oh, by the way, this should be transcribe any missed speech. And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments, you want to listen for or look for missed punctuation, filled pauses, words in stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just so if somebody says the, then it's just the. Words in and what else? False starts. Short words. Make sure little words like the and little articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. Those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of mistranscription. Seems so silly to be writing this all. But anyway, mistranscription, so make sure if the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, even though it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was so where you use the apostrophe. And look for capitalization. I'm not gonna do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings and for things like filled pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay when it's just as K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Or apostrophe and then K-A-Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Good.
Yeah.
And
Marcus smells really bad.
I think it smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always love small markers.
I became addicted to this.
Grease paint.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity, but not in stuttering, like I said. And don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment or whatever. Don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths. And okay should never be two capital letters. It should be OKAY. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any. So
over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have
it. Yeah. Really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. Use these waveforms to help you, and you can adjust the resolution so that that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution. Actually, that doesn't seem to be working.
On one of the arrows.
Which?
The arrows by the resolution.
It will, on this one.
Yeah.
Not that one, the other arrow next to it.
This one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So.
Oh, and you can also, if you go to signal and it's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well on resolution.
Okay. Right.
Then you can also wait. No, I think that's not. If you go to control panel. Signal control panel. Signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat for you, you can.
All right, that's good. Okay.
All
right.
I appear to have nothing. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. So I had to find where everything was.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. Okay.
Panel.
Yeah. So to help you make cuts, just look. Use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think, post-processing wise.
I've gone a bit far in cutting mine down at the moment.
Yeah, you don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. These segments being whatever length that they happen to be. Right. I've seen other people's transcription guidelines, like for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere, indicating that it really doesn't matter. And the point is just to get them into manageable units.
Easy for checking it in it rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting them down. But hopefully that will be done during the first pass, because that's the whole point. making the checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the cases of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
allocation,
the same page, just further down, scroll down. You'll see all the files. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass. So it's important that we do this second pass. And I've indicated in a column whether something is priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think I typed high if it's high priority. So those would be the ones you would focus on first, obviously. And when it comes, you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS server.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't know about. I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this.
Right, but it'll be similar. But they're creating a guide. Jonathan is creating a web form for you to do this all very simply, like just upload everything that you've upload the file that you've transcribed, and you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files for the first pass? Like the sound file and then
You'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder called files to be checked or something like that
in your home directory.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given meaning.
Yeah.
And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the MMM server on your own. Because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours.
Okay.
And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You don't move it over, because you want to have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory. And keep the same name, and then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered. Even though the first pass was checked in, when we're doing this checking in business, it will know which pass it is. But I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
It's a vaguely connected question.
Uh-huh.
you'll know. Originally, when we first replied, say yes, we're interested in doing this, it said 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than, which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually six. What is it? Is it 3 months?
Yeah.
I think.
That's I've got a 3 month contract.
They're 3 month contracts. And now, if you can't keep that, that's fine. But it's just a logistic thing with personnel where we have. That was the minimum we were able to offer a contract for. So if you have to bow out, let us know as soon as you know when you're going to have to stop.
The holidays and
around in the holidays. Obviously, those kinds of things are things we'll have to work around. But it's just one of those.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment,
mm-hmm. Can
we be more flexible with our hours if we want to?
I should think so. I mean, the whole point of keeping, well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer with the other person, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer your questions.
Sure.
But you've got keys?
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if you want to
work. And if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I could do it there as well.
Yeah. I don't see why not. As long as
you know what you're
doing your given set of hours. And I think you'll all be paid.
You.
I think you'll all be paid. Well,
I'm having to.
Have you not?
I'm having to sort some tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because I need to make sure I'm sending them the right form.
Okay.
But they want you to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information, because it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files.
No,
if I was
gonna
be here,
that's certainly not necessary.
I think at one place it said give us copies of degrees. Maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A-level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems like that, see Caroline Hastings. I mean, if it's
right.
for this job and you know, getting paid,
yeah,
that's not necessary. And Caroline Hastings ought to be able to help you sort that out. But also, if pay is a matter, like if it's a matter that you haven't gotten paid for some reason, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3-month contract starting February, but I started mid-January.
Talk to Caroline.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be. I'm here full-time now, so I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I leave at 4 now, so you won't find me any time after that.
But is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah, my husband's at home with baby.
Oh, so it is your baby then.
Yeah.
One assumes this. How old now?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh,
it's very lovely. Nice jolly little
he's
baby.
Sleeping through.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask. Does he sleep?
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
He was. I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop? Yeah, yeah.
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 All right.
Oh, good. That worked out well.
Oh, do we have to tick our note thing again when we finish this?
Absolutely.
To say that we've.